Did you hear about the 80-year-old man whose eyesight was really getting bad and it was negatively affecting his golf game? So he went to see his doctor and he said, "Doctor, I love to play golf. My health is good. I love to be outside, but my vision has gotten so bad that I can't see where I'm hitting the ball. And we need to do something about this." And so the doctor said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I've got another patient who's 90 years old. He's 10 years older than you. Amazingly enough, he has perfect vision. So I want to connect the two of you. You can play golf together." And so they went out the next day to play golf, and the 80-year-old man teed off, and he hit the ball a long way. And he said to the 90-year-old man, he said, "Was it a good shot?" He said, "It was unbelievable." He said, "It's the best shot I've ever seen." The 80-year-old said, "Well, where did it land?" The 90-year-old said, "I don't remember." Oh, that was pretty good. You like that? I didn't know. And I will say, after the token smattering of applause you gave to me when Jimmy was here, I nearly didn't even tell you that, but I did it anyway. So anyway, pretty good joke there. Well, the reason I wanted to tell that today, because today in this sermon that I'm about to give, I want to pick up where I left off on Sunday night in the evening service. But there are two problems with that. Problem number one is some of you weren't here. You have other churches and you weren't in our church on Sunday night. The second problem is some of you were here and you've already heard what I have got to say. Now, my brother has always said about that point, he said, "John, you always worry about repeating something." He said, "By the time we get to the parking lot, we don't have any idea what you said. So we're not ruminating on that all day long. You think our whole world is reviewing your sermons. It's not." He said, "I promise you it's not." So I don't want to repeat that sermon. I want to begin where we left off on Sunday night, and then I want to go somewhere where we didn't go at all. But on Sunday night, I was talking to our congregation about the fact that life is a precious gift. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. I mean, it is. In fact, other than eternal life, the greatest gift that God has given you is your earthly life. And we should never take it for granted. Life is fragile. We know that, but we need to be reminded of how fragile life is. And it could end at any moment. And so, instead of complaining about our problems and focusing on the negatives in our lives, we should be thankful for life. When we woke up this morning, God gave us not only a day, but in this case, He gave us a beautiful day. It is Tuesday, February the 21st, 2017, and we'll never have this day again. This day is a gift to you from God, and it is a precious gift. And so in the sermon on Sunday night, that was how I started, and I just gave out some practical suggestions, really, of some things that we can do to make the most out of life. And I had a little four-point outline that I went with, and the first thing I said, and I've already referred to it now, is we should appreciate our lives. Did you know there's a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter number 45, and verse 5, and God was speaking to a particular man, and God said to this man, "I will give your life to you," now listen to this part, "as a prize." A prize. God has given us our life as a prize. And so we should appreciate our lives and never take it for granted. It would be interesting, don't raise your hand on this, but it would be interesting to know, when is the last time you sat down, or you didn't have to be sitting down in any position you were, and said, "God, I want to just thank you for my life. Thank you for the gift of this day." So many times in life, we're focusing on our problems and on difficult circumstances and maybe people who can be sometimes hard to get along with. And we let these things rob the joy of our life. And so we should appreciate the life that we have. The second thing that I mentioned on Sunday night, not only should we appreciate our lives, but we should enjoy our lives. I mean, if God has given us our lives as a prize, and our lives are a gift. Think about what the Bible said. This is the day the Lord has made. We will what? Rejoice and be glad. So we should have joy. We should be happy. Now, obviously, our ultimate joy comes from God, from being saved, from having Jesus Christ living in our heart. There's where the joy is. You can't have real joy without Jesus. Now, you can have happiness. You can go out and do a lot of fun things. But you can't have joy without the Lord. So those of us who are saved, we have internal joy, like we have a built-in source of joy. But in addition to that, and there shouldn't even have to be anything more than that, but God has given us things in life that we enjoy doing. For some, it is camping. For others, it is fishing. For some, it is hunting. For some, it is... I was talking to a friend coming in. He and his wife just got back from skiing at Lake Tahoe, and he's showing me all the pictures and a good time. So that's something that they enjoy doing. But in all of our lives, we should find things that we enjoy doing and do those things. For some people, it's hobbies like photography. For some people, it's running. My brother and his wife have taken up this long-distance running, and they're running marathons everywhere. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. We were raised in the same home, and I drive where I'm going, and he runs where he's going. But they've been to Disney World. They've done a marathon there, Washington, D.C., other places they've done this marathon. You know, my grandfather used to say when he would be driving down the road and see somebody out running on the side of the road, he would say to me and Joel when we were young, he would say, "Fellas, as soon as I see one of those guys smiling, I'm going to get out and run with them." But I've never seen a happy runner. But for some people, and my brother says, you know, when I get out there and run, I can just free my mind and air my mind. And so for him, that's what he enjoys doing. I shared on Sunday night that one of the things I have taken up lately doing, and I took quite a teasing for this, by the way, after the sermon, and it's a fad. I'm into a little fad right now, but I'm a little bit hooked on these Hallmark movies. I am. And I said Sunday night, as a man, I'm only allowed to watch two a week because those are for... Those are for women as a main part. In fact, I got a text message yesterday from a friend who lives in Austin, and he had watched the sermon Sunday night. He said, "John, after hearing that you're sitting around your house watching Hallmark movies, I want to get you the address so that you can mail your man card in," because that's what he said to me. So maybe I need to go to a wrestling match or I think Monster Jam, the truck thing, was in town last week. I should have gone to something tough like that, maybe a fight, something like that. But you have to find something you enjoy doing. You know what I did last night? I worked most all day yesterday on a booklet that we're trying to get ready to go. And last night when I had been home most all the day, and then I had gone to have a late dinner and then came back home, and I worked on the booklet a little bit more, and then I said, okay, this is enough. It was about 9 o'clock. I said, that's enough on work. And so I got on my computer, on my phone, and I started looking up facts about the Andy Griffith Show. Now, do any of you like to watch Andy Griffith? I love that show. In fact, I was watching. I had DVR'd a couple of shows. I was going to watch them last night, and I turned the first one on, and then I started just Googling about different characters. Of course, Andy has died. Barney has died. Aunt Bee has died. And I got to watching some video clips of Opie, Ron Howard, who went on to be Richie Cunningham in Happy Days, and now he's a famous director, very successful. I watched some videos of him, and then I got to watching something very interesting. Now, to me, this was something, I'm just giving you an example of something that I was enjoying last night. Now, this may not be down your alley, but maybe you could find something similar. Do you remember on the show that Barney had a girlfriend? Do you remember that? Does anybody remember, for $100, time's up. Because some of you will. What was her name? Thelma Lou. And so... Thelma Lou is a lady named Betty Flynn, and Betty Lynn or Flynn, I got to check that out. Flynn's the guy that had trouble with Trump, right? So maybe it's Betty Lynn. But she's still living, and she's one of the few original cast members who's still living. She's 90 years old, and she lived for her career in Los Angeles. 50 years she lived in L.A., and she said her house was broken into twice out there. And so she wanted to move to a smaller town, so she moved to Mount Airy, North Carolina, which is the town where Andy Griffith was born and raised, and I wasn't really clear on this, but that is the town that Mayberry is modeled after. There's a Floyd's Barber Shop. I mean, it's the whole deal. And so I'm watching this, and every year, the last weekend in September, they have what they call Mayberry Days. And thousands of people go up there. And there's an Andy Griffith Museum. And so I'm just watching this, and I'm thinking, before I die, I've got to go to Mount Airy, North Carolina. Now, I probably would rather go in the off season, maybe like this time of year or in the spring when it's not Mayberry days. But as I was listening to her and she was talking about what Don Knotts was really like and what Andy Griffith was like and what Aunt Bee was like, and it was all positive from what she said and what Opie was like. And I just thought, you know, As I was watching all that last night, I don't think I was thinking this, but looking back on it, it was very relaxing. And I did that till about 10:30. I went to bed and I slept like a baby because I had done something that I enjoyed doing. It was not stressful. So what I'm saying is, in all of our lives, whether it's that or something else, we need to do things we enjoy. The other thing that I mentioned on Sunday night, not only should we enjoy our lives, but we should invest our lives in other people. We should tell people how to be saved. We should minister to people when they're going through a hard time. You know, the old saying says, only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. And so, you know, I think these hobbies that I'm mentioning are very important, but I think there needs to be a word of caution here, because if a person just says, well, you know, what he said is right, I need to just enjoy my life, and what I'm going to do is just watch Hallmark movies 12 hours a day. I'm going to watch Andy Griffith shows 4 hours every night, and I'm going to always go to the lake home or always. I think some people have hobbies that when they started out with these hobbies, they were a blessing to these people. In other words, it was something God wanted them to do. But somehow in the course of time, things have gotten out of balance, and what started out as a hobby to, you know, relax their mind and let them take it easy has now become like a way of life. And so the way I would like to say it is, what started out as a diversion became a distraction. Now, and now instead of, you know, playing golf on Saturday, people are playing golf when they ought to be at church on Sunday. Or instead of doing something in the evenings or on the weekends, they're doing something on the Lord's Day. And so what initially was a diversion is now a distraction. And now people are playing golf, and now people are fishing when they ought to be with their families, or when they ought to be working, or when they ought to be at church, or when they ought to be helping a friend. But they've gotten over here and they say, you know what, he's right, life is a gift, we should enjoy it. And so what started as a diversion is now a distraction. And if you're not careful, that distraction can become your destruction. And something that initially was a good thing can become a bad thing because it pulls you away from family and from God and from church. And so we all have to be careful on that. And we need to spend part of our time in each day really investing it in the lives of others. One thing we can all do for other people is to pray for them. I was home this morning having my quiet time. And a big chunk of my prayer time is devoted to praying for other people. Well, like those people I prayed for today, I haven't talked to any of them so far today. Most of them I won't see today. A lot of them don't even live here. But I've prayed for them. And so in a sense, I have used part of my day, probably not enough of it, but at least part of my day investing in somebody else's lives. And so we want to do that. And then we want to use our lives on this earth, however long or however short. We want to use our lives preparing for eternal life. Preparing for eternal life. Now, the illustration that I used on Sunday night, and this after this part of the sermon, we'll be caught up with the review. It will all be over, and we'll have new material, and I'll have you out of here by 2 o'clock this afternoon, okay? No, we'll still be out on time. Let's use our imagination, and let's play like that this part of the platform represents the day you were born, okay? The day you were born. And this part of the platform represents the day that you will die. Okay, now are you still listening? What does this represents the day you were born, and over here the day you will? So right now we're between these two, okay? We've already been born and we haven't died, so we're out here somewhere. Now, let's use this made-up illustration. Let's take your favorite athlete, your favorite sports personality. It may not even be an athlete. It may be a coach. It may be the owner of a professional team. It may be a sports reporter, maybe a newspaper writer, maybe. And let's just play like, for the purpose of this illustration, that that person is unsaved. Now, many of in that world are saved, but I'm just saying, let's play like that person is unsaved. And so for that person, their whole life revolves around sports. The next game, the last game, the big game, the stats, how to get better, what happened in this person's game. So this person's life is all about sports. And so as they are walking across the stage of their life, what are they doing? They're talking about sports. Yes or no, is there anything wrong with sports? No, there's nothing wrong with sports. We should all watch more sports. It's good for us. It's a good diversion. But if sports becomes like the only thing in your life, now here's the point I want to make. If sports is the only thing in your life, and every day you're getting closer to the day of your death, and when you get out here to the day of your death, for each and every one of us, the day of our death will be one of two things. It will either be a launching pad that will lift us to heaven, or it will be a cliff that people fall over and drop into hell. And so for you, for me, for everybody, the day of our death is either a launching pad or a cliff. Now, for those of us who are saved, we know that it's a launching pad. We're going to go right up to be with Jesus when our body dies. But other people who are not saved, it's going to be like they've stepped over the cliff. Now, I know this is somber, it's heavy, but they've stepped over the cliff, they've gone into hell, they'll be in hell forever. Now, let's stay with this illustration. The sports personality who has spent his whole time walking across the stage of life and now has died and gone over the cliff and is in hell forever. Now, those of us who are saved, thank God we'll never be in hell, so we won't be able to have a conversation with that person. But if we could get in that person's mind, and if we could know what that person in hell would be thinking, here's what they would be thinking. They would be thinking, I wasted my whole life. For me, my whole life was about sports. It was about the next game. It was about what was going on. And they would say, now I'm in eternity, now I'm in hell, and reflecting on my life, even as I was getting closer to the day of my death, which I never wanted to think about anyway. Who wants to think about when you're going to die? I mean, we always want to block that somewhere in the back of our minds. I do too. I don't want to think about death. I want to think about life. But the person in hell would be thinking, even as I was getting closer to the end, and in the back of my mind, I knew I was getting closer to the end, I just continued to think and talk and focus, and it was all about sports. And then the end came, and I fell off the cliff, and that person would say, and here I am. And as they look back on their life, they would say, my whole life was spent. My whole life was devoted to something that didn't last. And ultimately, that didn't even matter. That didn't even matter. Now, if you missed Sunday night, those are the cliff notes of that sermon. If you were here, you've just heard it again. But I want to pick up there, and I want us to answer this question in the remaining moments we have. If it is unwise to spend our time on the stage of life thinking, talking, meditating, totally focused on things that won't matter, as we go across the stage of our lives, what should we be doing? I mean, those of us who are saved, those of us who know that on the day of our death, it's a launching pad. We're going up to heaven. We're going to be with God forever. But when we get to heaven, we don't want to look back on our earth and say, well, you know, I am thankful that I was saved. But other than getting saved, I'm not sure how much my life really mattered. I'm not sure if I really invested. Even though I was saved, my life was all about fishing, hunting, camping, sports, all these things that would have been a great diversion. But for me, it became a distraction, and in many ways, it became my destruction because my life didn't even really mount for God. So the question is, as we walk across the stage of life, what should we be doing? That said, open your Bibles to the book of Malachi, chapter number 3. Now, that is the longest introduction in the history of preaching, and I now want to give you the shortest sermon in the history of preaching, or one of them. But in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, I want to show you a verse that I read yesterday, and that's why I'm back on this topic that I was on Sunday night, because I can't get it out of my mind. And I know myself well enough to know I preach better or teach better if I'm talking about something I'm interested in. And I'm interested in this today. And so that's why I'm not making up a brand new topic. I'm just adding to that. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. Now watch this. So a book of remembrance was written before him, before the Lord, for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. And so the Bible says in heaven there's a special book. It's called a book of remembrance. We know that in heaven there are lots of books, by the way. The main book is the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name has to be in that book in order to be saved, in order to go to heaven. We read about that in Revelation chapter 13, the Lamb's Book of Life. There are other books in heaven that the Bible describes in Revelation chapter 20 that says this other category of books, it talks about all the sinful things that unsaved people have done. And one day when unsaved people die, they will stand before God at the great white throne judgment, and they will be judged, even unsaved people. Now we know as Christians, we're going to heaven because we've been saved. We're not going to be judged by our sins. Jesus was judged for our sins when He died on the cross. We one day at the judgment seat of Christ will be judged by for how we lived our lives. Well, one day unsaved people will be judged for how they lived their lives too. They won't be judged to determine if they're going to heaven or hell. It's already been determined if they're not saved, they're going to hell. But they will be judged by how they live their lives. And God will use their lives, God is so just, to determine the degree of punishment that they will receive in hell. Just like there will be degrees of rewards in heaven, there will be degrees of punishment in hell. And so there are a lot of books in heaven where God's just keeping tabs on all the things that unsaved people are doing. And one day, they'll have to give an account to God for those actions and they'll be judged for them. But there's another book in heaven, and here we read about it in Malachi, called the Book of Remembrance. Think about this. God has a special book in heaven, and when God looks down from heaven and God sees His people, saved people, doing certain things, He just makes a note of that in that book. First of all, and if we had time to really develop this, there are three verbs in that verse. First of all, those who fear the Lord. Second, those who meditate on the Lord or who think about the Lord or who love the Lord. You see, every time you have a thought about God, God sees that thought. You may not even verbalize that thought, but the Bible is clear. God knows our thoughts. I mean, it says it in Psalm 139. He knows our thoughts from afar off. And every time you're at home or at work or driving down the road, and you just have a private thought about God, about how much you love Jesus, well, God makes a note of that, and God writes it in His book. And then the part that got me yesterday, it said, then those who feared the Lord, now watch this, spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord, who meditate on His name. In other words, every time you have a conversation, now I don't mean forced or phony or stiff or any, I'm talking about a genuine, real conversation with another person about God. God is watching. God is listening. God knows your thoughts. God knows your heart. God knows you fear Him. And God is listening, and God can hear these conversations. And when He does, He gets out His pen and He just writes it down in His book of remembrance. On Tuesday, February the 21st, 2017, and He might write your name down. You had a thought about, God might write, you had a thought about me. You had a conversation with somebody about me. You called a friend and said, hey, I'm trying to make a decision, but I don't know what God's will is. Could you give me any advice? I don't want to do something God wouldn't want me to do. What would you say? Could we pray about that together? And God is listening, and God is watching, and God is making notes of that in this special book in heaven called the Book of Remembrance. And so what I'm saying to you is, as we, as Christian people, are going across the stage of life, yeah, let's watch Andy Griffith. Let's watch some Hallmark movies. Let's go to some ball games. Let's do some of this stuff. But let's let those be diversions, and let's keep the main thing in our lives be the Lord, focusing on Him, so that by our heart, our attitude, our thoughts, and even by our conversations, God would be touched, and that God would be so touched. It's kind of like God's got His own diary. And in that book of remembrance, in God's diary, He just writes down every time we do something, say something, or even think something related to Him.